Welcome back to the SermonCoach.com podcast. We're talking with Dr. David Maines about the subject of pastors. And we're trying to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. Well, David, I wonder, have you ever gone to a church expecting to hear the senior pastor everyone thinks is great, only to see in the bulletin that the middle school minister is going to give the message that morning?
I don't think I've ever had that experience. I've come maybe partway to that situation. I was taking someone to church the other day, a person who hasn't been in church for a long time, and I wanted them to hear a good message, and I would be sure that they would. So one of my favorite preachers is Bill Hybels. He's at the huge Willow Creek Community Church, and he really nails it time after time. So if I take a visitor and I think I want to make sure that I've got a safe situation, I'm going to go to this church. I will go to Willow a lot of times. I haven't been there probably over a dozen times in my life, but a dozen times is quite a number of times to be at a church. And I went for this person to hear Bill, and Bill wasn't preaching that morning. Now, fortunately, it wasn't, what did you say, the middle school pastor?
Right.
That's not who it was. But one of the really interesting things I've found out regarding Bill Hybels is he doesn't preach every Sunday. In fact, sometimes he takes long period of times, like the summer off, where he's just kind of refreshing his soul. And that morning, he had someone else preach on his behalf. But I think, although I can't prove it, Bill Hybels makes it a point that when he gets someone else to preach, it's always someone better or at least as good as he is. Mm. And that's a very interesting thing to me, because he never has somebody who you're going to be embarrassed about. And that morning I went and I thought, oh, no, he's not preaching. And who was it? Well, the interesting thing was Bill Hybels was there. He just didn't preach. And the person who preached was Andy Stanley. Well, Andy Wow. Stanley is a great preacher. And I thought to myself, woo, this is really good. Andy Stanley, that may be better yet. And I listened, and this person who hadn't been in church for years was absolutely intrigued by what he had to say. Mm-hmm. Andy has this marvelous dry sense of humor, and it was just a wonderful morning. But yeah, I had a substitute, and there was something on the line, because this is somebody who I said, you need to be in church, and I finally got that person to go to church with me, and by golly, it was a good morning.
Well, that's a great experience. I wonder, though, is it possible for the middle school minister to be as good as or better than the regular preacher?
Well, again, I listen to your questions and I try to think through. The middle school minister is probably not going to be as good as or better than. Hopefully, though, the pastor will have worked with that middle school leader to say, you aren't as experienced in preaching as I am, and what I would like to do is to give you opportunity so you can develop that gift, but I want to work with you ahead of time. I'm a great believer in training Timothys, and a lot of my own ministry has been through the years investing myself in other people, which I still do now, and I find great joy in saying, when someone says so-and-so is a really good preacher, that I had a part in helping that person become that. In 2 Timothy, the second verse in chapter 2 is, in the things you have heard from me, say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. So as you teach, someone who can teach, someone who can teach, someone who, so there's a passing on of the lore or the skills, and I think there is great joy in being able to do that. And one of the pastoral roles in my mind is not to throw somebody in the water and say, let me see if you can swim or not. You know, it's to say, right, let me show you how to swim and a right pool for you to get in, and we're going to make this a very good experience for you. In fact, I may not go on vacation that week. I want to give you a week when I'm going to be here, because it's important for me to listen and to be able to process the whole situation with you.
So you see the pastor as a kind of sermon coach?
Well, yeah, I do. I very much do. That's a kind of a recent term that I hooked onto, is the whole professional coaching area. But I was sermon coaching from the first time I was a pastor. I have very good experiences with fellows from the different schools in the Chicagoland area who came and were interns with us. And the truth is, I used some of those interns to substitute for me on a Sunday morning, which, I mean, that you're giving the whole congregation to those people. But I never did it saying, you're on your own now, pal. Let's see how you can do. It was always, let's process this. Let's work several months in advance. You know when it's coming. What's the text we're going to use? How are you going to put this sermon together? I don't want you to say what I would say, but I want you to say something that will be as clear as what I would say, if I put it that way. You are your own person. But at the same time, I know whether you're communicating or not. So we're going to have this as a teaching process. And I did that not only, Dean, with interns. I did it with people in the congregation. I had one experience I recall of Abraham. Abraham is with the Lord now, but he was a gentleman, an African-American gentleman I had led to the Lord. And he was typical inner-city fella, wasn't employed. We got a job for him. He was a great mechanic. We got a job with a Volkswagen dealer. And he grew in so many ways. And we would always say, okay, now what are your gifts and how do we use them on behalf of the Lord? And he did various things in the church, but he came to me and he said, you know, one of my gifts is preaching. I think in the African-American community, there are a lot of people who feel they have that gift, and some of them are excellent communicators. And I said to him, I hear you, and I am not sure exactly how to process that. I said, where would you like to preach? Well, he wanted to preach for the congregation, you know, and so I probably did what was different than most people. I said, okay, let's work on it. And I eventually let him preach, but I didn't give him the whole morning. I had two interns. One started, one ended, and then I had Abraham in the middle. And I worked with him, and it was very difficult to work with him because to him, he thought I was much too calm, and I really didn't know how to preach like African-American people preached. And he called me a teacher. He said, you're not a preacher, you're a teacher. You just stand up there and very calmly tell people things. And I said, I don't care whether you do it standing on your head. It doesn't matter. But when you're done, it's important to me that people understand mm-hmm. what you have said. So they each had kind of a sermonette that they preached. The intern fella, and his name was Kent, he did very well, and I was quite pleased. And then Abraham got up, and I thought, this is going to be interesting, but I got myself covered because I got another one coming who's an intern. And Abraham was absolutely incredible. He had a very simple thought. He developed the thought. He did it with passion. And when it was all done, again, I mean, the third guy had a tough one because he had to follow what was there. And I can tell that Abraham's with the Lord now. When it was all done for the morning, I said, Abraham, you were wonderful. You were really wonderful. And we were talking, and we were very close, and we were up in front, and not many people were around us. And when we talked, he said, well, I was nervous. I didn't know whether I would do well or not. I wanted to please you. I said, Abraham, have you been drinking? Because I could smell his breath. And he said, Pastor David, he said, I was so nervous. I just couldn't stand it, and I had to have something to calm my nerves. And I thought to myself, well, you know, I'm basically going to say to him, you did very well. And that was a whole different, I mean, an inner city experience, different than anything I'd ever experienced mm-hmm. before. And I said to him, well, you have skills. I thank you. Next time we're going to do it without the nip, you know, and we'll figure out how to do it. But right now, let's just say you did a very, very good job. So if I talk about encouraging people to speak, it's not something that hasn't been a part of me. I very, very much believe in this. And I have a lot of stories like that of people I've believed in and seen them come along and develop sometimes into phenomenal ministers. And that's very, very thrilling to me.
Indeed. Praise God for that. Are there options that a pastor may have other than preaching, other than having a different speaker?
I think so. Especially if a person doesn't feel real comfortable giving up the pulpit. The truth is, you know, if you watch the same television program 52 weeks a year and for 4 or 5 years, after a while, you tire of the television program in spite of all the money that's gone in to produce that. People just get tired of someone. And if you're the preacher who's been preaching 52 weeks a year for 5 years almost every Sunday, at a certain point, people tire of that. And they get used to your style and so on. So to be able to bust that up is what I'm saying. So obviously, you can invite somebody else to come. What I've said so far is if you invite someone, get somebody who is as good as or better than you. Don't make it a dog Sunday so you'll look good when you come back. And train people within the congregation. The truth is, a congregation I've always felt was far more tolerant of people they knew who were out of the body itself than they were with the outside speakers. But yeah, let me give some other options. I think team teaching is a good idea. I team taught with other staff members, and I also team taught with my wife. And I found that team teaching was, it had a dynamic to it that was very interesting, especially with my wife, because when you stand up to preach a sermon, Dean, everybody knows you're going to get through it. You may be nervous. I'm not nervous anymore, but you may be nervous. But at the same time, they're going to get through it. But when you have two people and they've rehearsed, but they haven't memorized, and they are kind of playing off each other, you're not sure whether they're going to get through it or not. It's kind of one of those things. Are they going to make it to the end? Can they land this baby or not? You know. And I found that that had a certain healthy tension to it that was very good. So team teaching is one of the things that I like very much. And I also found that in team teaching, it not only had a message you were saying with your words, but there was a message you were saying in terms of your relationship to one another. The truth is, as people listen to us talk, even though they are not here present with us, they can tell whether we like each other. They can tell, you know, if we'd had a huge argument before we started to talk, they would be able to pick that up. There's something about the dynamic of the two that you don't get with the one. And the team teaching, in my mind, is a wonderful way to go about it. So I think that's an option that people have.
Well, very good.